Today we are here to celebrate the defeat of death. Now, we're going to talk about death in several ways because while death is defeated, we still feel the threat of death, the fear of death, the push of death, the sadness of death, the grief of death. So I want to give just a couple of pictures in your head, maybe, that you could think about as we talk about the defeat of death. We're passing out some handouts. There may not be enough for everybody. You can keep them if you're used to them. If you do make paper planes out of them, don't throw them till we're after church, okay? But one picture of death I want you to see, when Jesus came, he died, he was raised so that all of us could be raised and that we could live a life confident that death doesn't have the final word. We're confident of that. But sometimes we lack in our confidence, and this is a picture I want to paint for you. Let's try and see this. You're a prisoner in a jail cell, and you're sitting in the jail cell, and the cell is death. But Jesus comes, and he opens the cell door, and the cell door is open, and he's waiting for you to walk out, but you just sit there in the cell of death, okay? We're going to talk about that, how he has come to set us free, but sometimes we don't walk out that door of freedom, okay? Second picture I want you to see is from God's favorite movie, Shawshank Redemption. And for you who haven't seen it, you know, grow up, okay? But there's a scene, there's this phrase is said twice, but the first time it's Andy who's in prison, and then he's talking to Red, his friend, who's in prison for life. And he says to this, life boils down to one simple choice. Get busy living or get busy dying. And that's where we are today. Death does not control us. We have a choice to get busy living or get busy dying. The third picture I want you to see is Jesus in the Gospel of John. He comes to his friend's house, Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, and their brother Lazarus is dead. And Jesus comes to the tomb and says, he's going to be alive. But nobody can imagine that. They've never seen a dead man, especially a man dead for 4 days. They've never seen a man come to life again. And he calls out to Lazarus, and he says, come out. Okay, now think about that. Not if you're the people outside, but if you're Lazarus inside. You're inside, and you're dead. And then all of a sudden, you're not dead. And you hear somebody saying, come out. You're the dead guy. You're looking around like, what is that? Where am I? Why am I got these? So, but Lazarus, he could have stayed there laying and said, no, I can't come out, Jesus, because I'm dead. You know, what if Lazarus would have said that, sorry, Jesus, but I'm dead. But he wasn't dead. As a matter of fact, they say, come on out. And he comes out. And then they say, oh, yeah, he's got those grave clothes on him. Grave clothes are a metaphor for us. He's going to act like a dead guy. Don't act like a dead guy. You're alive. And this is what Jesus come for us today, right here today, to say, you're alive. You're always going to be alive. You're always going to be alive. There's a song. I hope that's not my phone. Every once in a while, my phone starts talking to me accidentally because I'm an old person with a phone. Don't know how to control it. There's a song called I Will Rise Up. And in this song, the lyrics, and the way I like to picture this song is that God is actually speaking to us in the lyric of this song or through the prophet of this song. And he's talking to us. And one of the comments he makes at the first, he says, to us, he says, you're broken down and tired. You're broken down and tired. And isn't this us sometimes? And you're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. Sometimes this is how life just seems. It's like this, and then this, and then this, and then this. I mean, we're alive. We still got a pulse, but we're dead, right? I'm broken down, I'm tired. Well, we're going to listen to that song today, but also today we're going to have one of our guests from the Bronx perform a dance to the song. And so when she did this a couple weeks ago, she did it with a partner at the fundraising benefit for a house on Beekman. But today, Toddie's going to come up here by herself, no partner, and we're going to listen to the song as she performs the dance for us, okay? Wow. Can you say it with me? Wow. 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 Thank you very much. Wow. Death will rise up. And Jesus says he'll come and he'll rise up with you. Woo! So, death. On that day when my son reached out and put his hand on his grandfather's body was dead. His body was dead. But other things besides bodies die. Death is a horrible enemy, not just to our bodies. Some of us have experienced other kinds of deaths. Death to relationships. Sometimes a death to a relationship seems more painful than the death of a body. There's death of dream. Some of us have had a dream and we've watched it die. We've had careers that have died. Some of us have had our own dignity die, or our soul. So we're alive on the outside, but dead on the inside. Maybe a business died that you were a part of. Maybe a church died, or an organization, or a team. But other things besides our bodies, and they all come under that gruesome umbrella of death. And death has partners. I'm going to call them in your handout associates. Death's associates are defeated. But before that, on your handout, if you're looking at it, before we write associates in that blank, I want to get to our key verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And that's what we're going to say today together. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Everybody say it together with me. Death has been swallowed up in victory. This is Paul talking to us about Jesus who died and was raised. And in that moment, he said it, and you say it with me, death has been swallowed up in victory. But death has associates, and we're going to talk about four of those associates today, and there's many more. But death has partners who are pounding on us, who are attacking us, and they do it daily, and they do it moment by moment. These are death and his posse. And the first one we're going to talk about is the fear of death. But the fear of death has also been swallowed up by the certainty of eternal life. And I'm going to use this word certainty today to mean also faith. It's not a certainty that we've already seen it, but it's something that we have so much confidence in. We believe it's certain. This is faith. I believe that I am living an eternal life. I believe that. And my faith says my confidence in that is so great, I call it certainty. Do you believe that you're living eternal life? Do you believe that Jesus came and has given you eternal life? Let's see some head nods. Come on. Let's say some hand raises. Let's have some amens. Come on. I mean, I don't want to have to put on a show for our new friends here, but every once in a while, you guys can speak back, you know, like, Do you believe that you're living in eternal life because of Jesus? Amen. So he's come, and this is the way he describes it. The Bible describes this eternal life, okay? And in Philippians, it describes it like this. The book of Philippians, and it's somewhere in my Bible. And so I'm poking around for it. And he says this. Check this out. Chapter 3. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, check this out, by the power that enables him to bring everything under control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. I don't know how many of you guys are in this stage of life where you got a skin problem. I do. I mean, I can just touch myself and I start to bleed. I can do this and my skin won't go back down. You know, my skin is getting old. Any of y'all got this problem? And it's getting kind of wrinkly in spots that used to be kind of tight. It's going way south. It's going south. But I am certain that my eternal life, Jesus is going to take this body right here. He's going to take this body and he can put hair back on my head. Can we say it again? I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a body like his. My body even is not going to stay dead. Even though cancer is real. Right? We've all felt the blow. Alzheimer's. It's real. Addictions. They are real. But that fear of those things is swallowed up by the greater power of Jesus dying and coming up out of the grave. And when he came up out of the grave, he said, I'll rise. And then then a little bit later in the song, he says, we will rise. We're going to rise. The second associate, I'm going to call this the addiction to work. Here's what's happened. There's an addiction to work, and there's a fear of scarcity, meaning there's not enough. Another way I could put this fear of scarcity is not just that I'm afraid I won't have enough. It's also I want more. And I have this addiction to I want more, I want more, I want more, I want, or I want new. I want new. This week, or last week, I got a new phone. I don't know how happy I've been in so long. I have a new phone. You know, everybody wants a new this or a new that or a bigger that or a better that. We're always looking for or more because we're afraid we're not going to have enough. We're not going to have enough. And so what we do is we work, and we get into this addiction of work. Okay? And I want to use this comparison just real quickly. It's from Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 16. In Exodus chapter 1, see if this sounds familiar, the people were slaves to their work. They had to work 24/7. And their identity became how many bricks could they make? I make bricks. That's what I do. I am a brick maker. I'm a slave to my work. And how many times in our lives do we go around and when we meet somebody new, what we do is the first thing we're going to say, hey, my name is Bob Strader, and I am a preacher. Who are you? Who are you? And you say, I'm Joe. And then the next thing you do, you're going to tell them what your job is, as if your identity is your job. We're addicted to work, and we get in this rhythm of work. Instead, in Exodus 16, God says, no, I'm going to give you manna every day. I'm going to give you manna every day. I'm going to give you enough for what you need every day. He replaces the rhythm of 24/7 slavery to your work to this rhythm of trust and rest. And there's more than that. And so I hear in the background one final breath he gave. Can y'all hear that? One final breath he gave. Whew. There was a battle in the grave. he couldn't be overcome. He beat death of our bodies. He beat the death of our addiction to work. And now the war on death was waged and the power of hell was forever broken. And that power of hell includes that addiction to work or that fear of death. And it also includes the striving for the approval of others. The striving for the approval of others also looks like this. It looks like a fear of rejection or a fear of betrayal. How many of us have been rejected? Yeah, and I don't like it. And the rest of you have, you just, you know. Lodge speech, come on, man. I know you've been rejected at least once. Thank you. Dude ain't going to raise his hand. I am comfortable. I'm not raising my hand. Bob knows I've been rejected, so why do I need to raise my hand? Or betrayal. And these things are not, I say this and we're laughing, but you know, as it happens to us, betrayal. We heard a testimony about betrayal, about rejection. And so we fear that. And so what we do is we strive. We do everything we can to gain the approval of others. And so we dress a certain way. And we do our hair a certain kind of way. So that others will say, oh, you look so good today. And we try to make an A on every grade so that you can say, oh, you're so smart. Or we try to become a great athlete because we can say, oh, you're so good at football. And so we're striving for the approval of others because we fear the rejection of others. But it's swallowed up. There was a battle in the grave and the war on death was waged. The power of hell was forever broken. And we do this when we cultivate our relationship with God. God says, I'll be your best friend. God says, I won't reject you. God says, I will never betray you. But sometimes that doesn't seem like enough because we have not cultivated that relationship, you know? It's just not strong enough. The relationship, what God has to offer and the relationship we could have with him, we haven't cultivated that enough for it to make the difference. So when I say, is the cross enough? Your real honest answer is no, it's not. I need someone to tell me I look good. Jesus died for me, and that was great. I'm glad Jesus died for me, but really, I need for somebody to tell me I'm a good singer. I need somebody to tell me I'm smart. I need somebody to tell me, I need someone to love. I need another person to come tell me I'm good enough. Because I have, even though Jesus died for me, put that aside. That doesn't matter to me right now. I need some person to tell me. And the reason that's so is because we've not cultivated the relationship with Jesus. Because when we cultivate that relationship and we come to know him, and we learn to trust in his love, the approval of others doesn't matter that much. We can live without that compliment because we know who we are and we know whose we are. And I don't need your approval because I've got the approval of God. And I know he's approved of me because he sent his son to die for me and he raised his son for me. Does this make sense? Yeah, come on then. Finally, another associate is the hunger for revenge. Woo, the hunger for revenge is swallowed up by adopting forgiveness as a way of life. And I hear it. In the background, one final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. Man, Jesus had just been crucified on a cross. And he looked down at the people who crucified him on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The battle he was fighting was against this associate of death, which is revenge. All of you have heard the I think, or most of you have heard that the analogy that when I hold a grudge against someone else, it's really, every time I think of that grudge I have against someone else, it's like putting a burden on me. They don't know. Stephen, you know, he hurt my feelings 2 years ago because he looked at me wrong. You know, and people have their feelings hurt for less. Okay. Stephen hurt my feelings, and so I've held a grudge against him ever since. I've been mad at him. And you know what? It's never bothered him. He didn't even know. He didn't even know he hurt my feelings. But I'm just worked up about it every day. And I'm thinking, man, one day I'm going to hurt his feelings back. I'm going to say something about him while I'm preaching a sermon and he's on the front row. That'll get him. And so we get all worked up about some grudge rather than forgive and live a life of freedom. This is an associate of death. This is one way that death is trying to get at you. And so all these things, the certainty we have of eternal life, okay, the certainty of God's provision, and I don't need to be addicted to work, the approval of God rather than the approval of others, forgiveness as a way of life, all that's good, but no matter, it seems, what I do, the defeated death continues to attack God's children. Okay, Jesus won the war. If the war is over, how come death is still scary? If the war is over, why am I still having this desire to have the approval of others so much? Man. I want this to be over. So there's a remedy, though. And so I want to talk about the remedy and read from the scriptures again, and then we'll be done. But I want to talk about this idea of knowing God and claiming resurrection power. Okay. Beyond our desire to choose life, it's more than a choice. You know, Andy was sort of right when he talked to Red in prison at Shawshank. That's the movie, guys, if y'all missed that. And in some ways, life is about a choice. Get busy living or get busy dying. But some things are beyond our ability to choose and then fulfill. And we need power. Where does that come from? Okay. I want to call it resurrection power. And I want to read to you a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is praying. He's in prison. He's writing a letter. And in the beginning of his letter, he's praying. He prays three great prayers in this book. But this is the first one. The first one says, I pray. So I want you to imagine this guy who loves you, who knows Jesus well. He's your mentor. He's your Derek. He's your Seanette. He's your Georgie. Okay. He's, for me, he's Steve Barnett, you know, just my mentor, Art. He says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Okay, I want the eyes of your heart, I want your heart to be open so that you can understand the kind of hope we have in Jesus. Part of it's understanding, okay? And then he says, verse 19, this is his incomparably great power for us who believe. Power. You know, that's what I need a lot of times is power. Sometimes I don't have the power. I'm making the choice, but I don't have the power to follow through on the choice. Have you ever been this way? Something is attacking you. And all of a sudden, my grudge for Stephen is coming back up in me. I see him. He's got, not only did he embarrass me years ago, he also has grown his hair out long to mock me. So I'm hacked, you know. So I see him, and I want to forgive him. I want to, but I feel like I can't do it. Or I walk in, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to eat healthy today. And then I walked in. That's out. I need power to go along with my choice, okay? I need the power to do what I really, okay? So he says, this is what you got. This is what you got on your side. He says, I want you to know the great power for us who believe. And it says that power is the same mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. We have resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's going to help me forgive. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's going to allow my approval to come from God and not from you guys. This is the power that raised Christ from the dead. And you know what? I believe in that power. I believe that when he raised Jesus from the dead, he also said, now I'm going to make that power available to you. Now, what I got to do about that is I got to get back to cultivating that relationship so I'll know how to access that power. I've told this story to the church before, but I'm going to tell it again. Accessing the power that's available is important. Sometimes we have power available that we don't access. So my grandparents were living on Wabash Avenue, right south of TCU. Sally will say she remembers this, but she probably doesn't. She was young. Okay. So my parents gave to my grandparents a trash compactor. And it was one of the first ones they ever come out with, you know. Not as fancy as now. And it was portable. It had little wheels. You could move it around the kitchen. And you know what a trash compactor does, don't you? What does it do? Smashes that trash. Yeah, that rhymes. You know. Smashes trash. Okay, so they gave it to him, and then months later, we're sitting in the kitchen, in the house on Wabash, and my grandfather goes to the trash compactor. He opens the lid of it. And he reaches in and he gets a paper sack, a brown paper sack that's full of trash. And the trash has not been smashed. It's just a brown, and he gets it up and he starts going out the back to the alley. And everybody says, what are you doing, Papa? So I'm taking the trash out. So why didn't you smash the trash? He said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you know, this machine here will smash your trash. He said, how does it do that? He said, well, you've got to plug it in. I said, this plugs in? Because he just thought it was a fancy trash can, not realizing that it had power to smash trash. But to get to the power, you've got to plug in to the power source. You know, see where I'm going with that? It's pretty obvious now, right? You've got to plug in. The power may be available to you. It's resurrection power. It's not just a trash compactor. It's a resurrection power. That the power that he wants you to experience in your life over death, the power over death, it's resurrection power. And so all this list of horrible things I read at the beginning, death of relationship, the death of a dream, the death of a career, the death of your dignity, the death of your soul, none of these God wants you to experience. He wants to save you from, and if you have, he wants to rescue from their continuing power over you. So here we are today. Bells and whistles. Here we are. Power is available. What we got to do is plug in. We're going to stand and sing. I hope today that you've been inspired. I was. Could have gone home right after the dance. It was beautiful. And here we go. We'll stand and sing. We're going to sing one last song together. And I'll have a final word right after that.